Diário, agora sim, bateu o pote. A bola para a zona do coração da grande área. Cruzamento, golo! É... Boa na rede do Sporting! Cota!
Também na Luz, estamos perto do intervalo. Mantém-se o 0-0 no Benfica, Casa Pia.
Bom dia, boa tarde! Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 195, welcome to November, a very, very busy time. We have, of course, Liga football, we have League Cup football, we have Taça de Portugal football, and of course, we'll also have an international break this month. So this is, of course, a very, very busy time of the year for clubs, especially the big clubs in Portugal. And this is one of the reasons why they carry the big rosters that they do, the squad sizes, because there's a lot of football this month, and they want to make sure the managers that the teams are ready for all the different matches and ready to rotate the lineup whenever changes are necessary. But a lot to talk about. First of all, going to review what happened this past week in Portugal. Going to review preview week 10 of the Liga First Division, week 9 of the Second Division. Women's football, it was a rough week for women's football with the national team. Also talk about the League Cup. Talk about, of course, as well, Roberto Martinez, who next Friday will be announcing his next call-up selection. And then, of course, we'll usually do the Big Four report as well as a preview, a quick review of next week's European action where Portugal's Big Four clubs are back in action. But let me first of all start off by saying that, of course, the big thing this past week, and I'll start off with the League Cup, and as we saw, the bigger Portuguese clubs, Benfica Sporting, and Braga, Porto still has to play their two group matches in the League Cup, which will be taking place in November. Porto did not play their League Cup first group match this week simply because they, of course, played this weekend. They're playing Friday versus Estoril for the Liga again. And then, of course, right off the bat next Tuesday, they're going to be playing in European competition at home against Antwerp. So Porto was really one of the bigger clubs in Portugal that did not play the League Cup. And instead, they're going to be pushing that to December. I think the first match is, if I recall, December the 6th. And then the other match is a few days before Christmas. So their, basically, group is still much to be contested. But obviously, this past week, we did have League Cup football. Big story was, of course, Sporting beating Feirense 4-2. Braga, very disappointing result for Braga, especially after drawing last week. They played 1-1 with Casa Pia, and Braga's in trouble, even though they could still go to Nacional, but let's not forget Nacional this year is a top four team in the second division. Braga, not a very good result at home against a Casa Pia side. Arouca lost to Benfica. Benfica, of course, played a very strong lineup. Benfica, of course, drew at home last week against Casa Pia, and as a result, not a very good week for Benfica, but they did manage to kind of put together a positive result against Arouca to take control of their group. And so right now, when it comes to League Cup play, Group A, Casa Pia is in first place. By the way, what a great week for Casa Pia. They drew at Benfica. They go to Braga and they draw again. Just a tremendous week for Casa Pia. Got a good question in the mailbag about the manager, Casa Pia, which I'll talk about later in this episode. But Casa Pia leading Group A with 4 points. Braga with 1. Nacional with 0. Braga Nacional play the final match day in December. And basically, Braga needs to win by a few goals to try to beat Casa Pia on goal difference and advance to the final four. Benfica, by virtue of defeating Arouca 2-0, they've got the tiebreaker on Arouca. Benfica still has to play AVS, but basically all Benfica needs is a draw, and they will advance again to the final four. Sporting beat Feirense 4-2. They've got the tiebreaker now on Feirense, and they just have to play Tundela, and again, pretty much a draw will get Sporting through to the Final Four. And then Group D, a lot of action to go simply because Porto still has their two group matches to play. But right now, Estoril, because they defeated Leixões, they are in first place with 3 points. And Porto still has their two matches to play in December. And that is pretty much your group results so far. Pretty much a lot of these groups only needing a one match left, except for Group D with Porto still to play two group matches. And it was, the schedule is busy. There are some people that wish that the League Cup wasn't around. I personally like the League Cup. I think the more matches that you play is better for your club, not to mention the fact that, let's not forget, a lot of times in these competitions, a lot of the younger players, the ones that don't get a lot of action, this is when they get to play. And eventually these players become your main players when you sell your other players. And as a result, it's important for these clubs to play. And although a club like Benfica played a very strong lineup, a lot of it, I think, is because of the basic results and Benfica wanting to assure themselves that they're going to go to the Final Four. Pretty much a lot of these matches, you saw a mixture of some veteran players and some younger players. And pretty much also what's important is this match day two for a lot of these big clubs is important, because if you win, then you know going into the final match day, you control your destiny. And in some cases, all you need is a draw. So the League Cup got underway this week. And as a result, we pretty much see good results with Benfica and Sporting. Braga, a lot of work to do. And then, of course, Porto still has their matches to play. And one last thing about the League Cup. A group of Braga supporters, the Claques, came out last week, basically issued a statement saying that they would not be supporting Braga at matches. This has nothing to do with the squad. This has to do with them going against the Liga Portugal that runs this competition. They do not like the fact that next year the format is basically the top six in the first division, who finishes in the top six, they will go next year to the Taça da Liga, and as well as the top two teams, pretty much the two teams that are promoted, they will also go into the new format next year of eight teams. And they're not happy. They don't like the new format. They talk about how they also don't like the fact that after the quarterfinals, the Final Four looks like it's going to be played abroad. And they were very critical of Pedro Proença in the Liga Portugal office, saying that they talk about how they want to do things for fans and they're putting fans first. And yet here you are cutting a lot of teams out of this competition. And then when you get to the Final Four, you're pretty much moving this Final Four, the three matches, the two semifinals and then the championship match. So it looks like it's going to be moved to another country. So Braga supporters said that they would not be coming out to support the club, as much as that hurts them that they can't support Braga against Gazapia. They decided to boycott the match, and they're asking all Braga fans to do the same. And they're also blaming the clubs in the Liga for allowing this to happen. So I thought this was really big news from one of Braga's biggest clubs, biggest supporters groups, that they are basically boycotting this competition. And Casapia, a draw with Braga at home, puts Braga in a very tough position, because the next Braga match is going to be in Madeira. So it doesn't look like Braga will have a lot of support. But they did come out this week very, very critical of the Liga, and they are not very happy about the new eight-team-only format next season. Now, why are they doing eight teams only next season? Part of it is because they're trying to reduce the number of matches in Portugal so that the bigger clubs, you know, because I believe, if I recall, the Champions League is going to be going through a revised format very soon. And if you just do the top eight, the top six in the first division next season and the top two in the second division, a lot of people feel at the end of the day that this is the poor format, especially the Liga. But the fans don't feel that way. They feel that this is basically leaving out a lot of clubs across the league. So this week, the Braga Clock decided to come out and criticize it. So that was some pretty big news coming out this week with the Clock. But let's get going. Of course, last week, the big story, of course, was Benfica at home playing to a 1-1 result against Gazapia. Benfica, though, despite all the recent disappointment, is only 3 points behind Sporting for first place. They're in a tie with Porto at 22 points. But last week, we saw Moreirense beat Arouca. We saw Portimonense, who's been playing some good football lately, they beat Estoril Praia 1-0. We saw Guimarães beat up on Chaves 5-0. We saw Benfica, of course, like I told you, 1-1 draw with Casapia. We saw Gil Vicente and Braga. What a match this was, a six-goal thriller. and Braga managed to get the point, but they've got to be very disappointed. Braga now is 8 points behind Sporting for first place, but really 5 points behind the last Champions League spot of second place, which Benfica and Porto currently hold. But they're slipping. They're slipping in the League Cup. They're starting to slip in the Liga. And I think the hopes for the president, Antonio Salvador, to try to compete for a top two spot is slowly starting to fade away. We saw another great match last week. Rio Ave lost to Feyenoord at home 4-3 in a 7-goal thriller. We saw Estrela Amador beat Fama 1-0. We saw Porto go to Vizela, record a 2-0 win. And then we saw everything wrap up on Monday night. Boavista starting to slip a little bit after such a great start. Sporting recording the 2-0 win. And then, of course, Sporting, after playing on Monday, came back right away on Thursday, winning their League Cup match, as they did, beating Fidan. So it was a very busy week for Sporting. But looking to this weekend's schedule, everything that's going on Friday, Porto at home to Estoril Praia. Porto, of course, is playing next Tuesday, so that's why they're playing on Friday. And again, that is the reason why they didn't play their League Cup match this week. Then on Saturday, a very good match with, well, not so much, but if you're going to be playing a team that's struggling and you're Benfica, this is the team you want to play, Chaves. Chaves at home will be playing Benfica. And an early match, by the way, basically 15:30 in the afternoon. You don't usually see Benfica play that early. You got Fama at home to Gil Vicente, and then Braga will be playing Portimonense. And then, of course, on Sunday, you'll have four matches, Moreirense, Vitória, Guimarães. Casapia playing really well, taking on Vizela. You got Rio Ave taking on Boavista, two clubs kind of going in the opposite direction. And then Sporting will end it on Sunday night, taking on Estrela Amador. And then the Liga match day 10 ends on Monday with Feyenoord at home to Arouca. And again, Sporting has yet to lose, only one draw. They lead the pack with 25 points, Benfica and Porto with 22. Guimarães really playing very well. You know, again, a lot of disappointment of what happened to them being eliminated from the Europa Conference League. But at least in Liga, they sit in fourth place. They're ahead of Braga by 2 points. Vitória Guimarães in fourth place with 19 points. Braga in fifth with 17 points. And then, of course, you got Boavista in sixth place with 15 points. And that's kind of what's been going on right now in the first division. Best match, I think, this weekend, in my opinion, I think when you look at it, this is one of those weeks where you've got the poor team, the really small teams playing the big teams, and the small teams are just having a very big year. I think if you're going to ask me what is the best match of this weekend, I like paying attention to Chaves Benfica, simply because I think Benfica needs the 3 points. Chaves is playing at home. And I think another pretty decent match as well is Familia Cone. The 7th, 8th place team at home taking on Gil Vicente, the 11th place team. And I think also another good match, of course, because they're so close to each other, and that would be Moreirense and Vitória Guimarães. I think that's another very good match this weekend. So that's your first division report. Second division report, everything gets going on Saturday with 5 matches led by FC Porto B versus Feyenoord. Best match this weekend on Saturday, well, actually the whole entire match, day 9 for the second division, Nacional playing Santa Clara. This is a third and fourth place teams playing each other. And AVS gets going on Sunday morning. They'll be playing Olivarense. That's also one of the best matches this weekend. Leiria's at home to Marítimo. Tundela's at home to Oriente. My team in the second division sitting in sixth place. And then everything gets finishing up on Monday night with Passos de Ferreira at home to Académico do Viseu. AVS has opened up a 6-point lead in the second division. AVS with 22 points. Marítimo, Santa Clara, and Nacional all sitting basically in a three-way tie for second place with 16 points. And then fifth place is Mafra. But AVS doing very well. And, of course, they'll be playing Olivarense, the 9th place team. And that is also a very good match this weekend. Women's football, it was a very, very tough week for women's football. Last week, they lost their 2 Nations League matches to Austria, losing in Austria and coming home at home, playing in the Varzim, and they lost both of their matches. So the women's team, after, you know, every time you saw them, they were doing something new for the first time. They were putting together a positive result. It was just nothing but a steady climb up, up, up. But last week, they unfortunately came down to earth with two disappointing losses and really complicated their efforts to qualify for the Nations League. And it's not really looking very good for them. But basically, this weekend, women's football, Liga football, basically gets going. Actually, correction, they do not play this weekend. They are off. I believe they might be playing Taça de Portugal. But everything gets going the following weekend. And again, your table for the women's football first division. Benfica in first with 15 points. Braga in second with 13. Damiens, surprising everybody, in third place with 12. And Sporting has already dropped 5 points in their first five matches. They are sitting in fourth place with 10 points. Also on the schedule next week, we got Roberto Martinez next Friday. We'll be announcing his squad selections for the matches against Liechtenstein and Iceland. Liechtenstein away, Iceland at home. And again, Portugal has already wrapped up the group. My question is he going to call up most of the top players, or is he going to call up basically a lot of young players, give guys like Bruma an opportunity to play, João Neves, give basically players maybe some goalkeepers? Will Mateus Braga get the call up to the national team? He's been wanting to do that for Portugal for a very long time. I'm very curious to see next Friday, and I'll talk about it a little bit more for the next episode that drops, because that'll drop before the call-ups. Very curious to see next week what Roberto Martinez does. Does he call the same lineup to try to continue to build his philosophy with most of these top players? Or does he only call up a few of them and brings in a lot of new faces due to the fact that Portugal really has nothing to play for? And, of course, you don't want anybody to get hurt as well. The only big news with the national team, one particular player that would have been called up won't be now, and that's, of course, Danilo of PSG. He is injured, and he will not be featuring in the call-up. That wraps up part one of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast.
Com as costas, com classe, dá para Evan Nilsson alguma sorte. Eustáquio simulou, atirou o pé esquerdo, que golo! Entrou!
Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Welcome back. I always take this opportunity at the beginning of the second half of the episode to thank you for listening, whether it's for 10 minutes, whether it's for the entire 40, 45-minute episode. I just want to say thank you. And if you're here for the first time, I am your weekly Portuguese expert. I have been doing PortugueseSoccer.com and following Portuguese football for over... I've been doing it since 1997, is when PortugueseSoccer.com started off as a website, and now it's kind of eventually changed to social media and, of course, this podcast. And I've been doing it for such a long time that I've had an opportunity to see things from different perspectives, different times. I remember when the League Cup started. I remember when the League Cup started, because it's only a 17, 18-year-old competition. I remember the Golden Generation. I remember Cristiano playing his first matches for Sporting, and I come on here every week. I like to think of myself, and I feel very strongly that I tell it like it is. Sometimes I'm going to disappoint you with your club. Sometimes I'm going to compliment your club. But again, if you're listening for the first time, please give this a follow. Of course, you can listen to it on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict. I also put up the audio on YouTube for those that want to listen to it there. And, of course, you've also got the links as well on PortugueseSoccer.com. And, again, I want to thank you so much for listening, especially if you're a regular follower. I know many of you do. I get all these emails. Sometimes you guys like to repeat what I say. But I really appreciate, again, your support. And, again, I'm here to talk about something that we love. And that is, of course, Portuguese football, Portuguese soccer, whatever word you use in your part of the world. But let's get going, of course, next week. Again, I talked about how this was a very, very busy month of European football. And, of course, Champions League returns next week. Porto will be at home to Antwerp. And, of course, as we know, Porto is in very good shape in their group. They are in second place in their group with 6 points. Their only loss to Barcelona. If they beat Royal Antwerp, I think this will go a very long way, not only for eliminating Royal Antwerp, but if Barcelona beats Shakhtar, that could give Porto the opportunity to build a 6-point lead with 2 match days left. And of course, if you're Porto, qualifying means a lot of money. And we obviously know that Porto has some financial difficulties, so qualifying would be huge. Not to mention the fact that they also want to win, because every point means a lot of money that you also earn as part of your revenue in the Champions League. Wednesday of next week, we've got Real Sociedad, Benfica. By the way, that's the early match on Wednesday. Real Sociedad, Benfica, that'll set 17:45. Portugal time, 12:45 for a lot of us on the Eastern United States and Canada. And, you know, again, while Porto is in great shape, Benfica, no points after three matches. They haven't even scored a goal. It has been a complete opposite of the success that they had last year when they won their group with PSG. If there's ever been a must-win match, it's going to be next Wednesday when Benfica goes to play Real Sociedad. Benfica, at the very least, needs to come away with some points for their Champions League revenue. But if Benfica don't win this, they will be kissing their hopes. Hell, right now, they're trying to battle for third place, to be honest with you, in their group. I mean, that's got to be a consideration. And right now, Red Bull Salzburg only has 3 points, so that is still an attainable goal. But we obviously know that Benfica, main goal was to qualify for the Champions League elimination stage. And right now they are 7 points behind Real Sociedad and Inter, who both have 7 points. So Benfica has to win. Nothing else to say. There's no if, there's no buts, and there's no ands about it. Benfica needs to win. They need to show that the team that made it to the quarterfinals last year, this is a legitimate team. Roberto Martinez has been getting a lot of criticism. And I'm sorry to say, when you're a manager at a big club, this is what happens when you don't get the results that you do. But just a massive, massive match for Benfica. And again, that is the early match next Wednesday. Braga will be making the trip to the Bernabeu to take on Real Madrid. Obviously, this is going to be very exciting for a lot of the players. Obviously, look, Braga, right now, a lot of people thought the goal would be third place. And right now, they're in good shape in third place with 3 points. Union Berlin has yet to win. But Braga, if they can go to Real Madrid and get a point, it would be one of their 10 best nights ever in club history. But obviously, we know this is going to be a very tall task, because Real Madrid could pretty much wrap up qualification with a win. And that just makes it very, very difficult. But I think for me, if you're Braga, you field your best lineup. You're playing in one of the most historic stadiums in the world against one of the historic clubs in the world. And if you're Braga, you just got to be motivated. I just hope worst case doesn't happen where they lose by maybe 2, 3, 4 goals. But they've got to come out there. But this is obviously a game where, at the very least, if they can get a point out of this, this would be a very good result, especially in the battle for a third place. But there's not as much pressure on Braga as there is in Benfica, because Benfica has no doubt about it. They've got to win if they're going to stay alive. Europa action gets going with Sporting next Thursday. Sporting, and actually, by the way, Sporting this time will be playing the 2000-hour match against their Polish side, Rakow. Sporting in very good shape in their group right now. I'm going to scroll to it right now. Should have had this already ready. But Sporting, of course, Atalanta of Italy is leading the way with 7 points. Sporting and Sturm Graz with 4. But Sporting already has a good positive result against Sturm Graz. And Sturm Graz still has to come to Portugal. And Rakow sits in last place with 1 point. Ruben Amorim was asked about the importance of the Europa. And he said, look, our priority, and I said this last week and he said it, their priority is the Liga, but they have an obligation to compete in the rest of these competitions. And obviously, if you're Sporting, you want to finish top two. You want to get qualification done early. And you, of course, want to continue to compete in Europe, because when you are a club in the Europa League, your chances of going farther in a competition are certainly better in the Europa than you would in the Champions League. And, of course, Sporting, again, will be coming home to play Rakow. Sporting's got to win this. I think they will, and they'll get the 3 points that'll keep them alive in the group, and I think that's very important. Let me look at the other group. Who's playing at home in the other group? Where is that? Atalanta will be at home to Sturm Graz, so that kind of plays into Sporting's favor, because, you know, obviously, you know, Atlanta's probably the best team so far in this group. But if Sturm Graz loses and Sporting wins, then they get to build up that 3-point lead. And I think that's very important. Especially, it's very important because match day 5 at the end of this month, Sporting's got to go to Italy and play Atalanta. and you want to see if Sporting could go out there and get a good result, maybe a positive result like a draw, and again, try to wrap up and finish second place in this group. So European action next week. Again, such a busy month. One thing from weekend league action to a competition. First it was the League Cup. Next week is going to be Europe. This is a very, very important time for clubs, and Sporting will be very busy. But fortunately, they've got a Polish side that seems to be struggling in Europa, and Sporting's got to take advantage of it. Let's go to the Big Four report, and we'll obviously have to start with Braga. And again, Braga, a big disappointment so far in terms of sitting in fifth place. I think the president expected better. And look, there's been some great nights with Braga this year. You know, they played Sporting tough earlier this year. They had that great result in Berlin. They almost got a decent result against Real Madrid, but they got to do better. And going to Gil Vicente and playing to a 3-3 draw is not a very good result for them because of the fact that they are so far behind. But, you know, and not to mention the fact that now, if they don't go to Nacional next month and win by a big margin, they could also be eliminated from the League Cup Final Four, which their president believes they should always be in the League Cup Final Four, being a Big Four club that they feel that they are. But Braga, pretty disappointing result with Gil Vicente, and then pretty disappointing result for Casapia. And I think if you're Braga, you got to, you know, now you got to go play Real Madrid after all this. And you know, I was talking to a Braga fan, and he was thinking that maybe Braga was looking ahead to Real Madrid and not really taking Casapia seriously in the League Cup, and that could be a very big possibility. Moving on to Sporting, obviously there was some attention this week with Ruben Amorim. He's been mentioned in the past with Chelsea, but now, believe it or not, he's being mentioned with United. And I think the story was kind of presented in a way. I think it was made bigger than it was in Portugal, but he's basically on a list with a bunch of other managers. And you know, if you're Ruben Amorim, I think he made a remark after in the press conference after the match that, you know, he has an idea of what he thinks he'll do next year. But I also say that as much as if you're Ruben Amorim, is he ready to go to a big, big club like that? You know, look, if Sporting makes it to the quarterfinals of Europa or even the Final Four and he manages to win the Liga, I think he graduates for an opportunity like that. But if he doesn't win Liga and they don't make it out of, let's say, the round of 16 in the Europa, I don't know if he's going to have an opportunity at the Manchester United job, unless they look at him as another young Portuguese talent that could maybe bring some magic to United. I don't know. But he was mentioned in the mix with United. Again, I think that might be just more media-driven. Genny Katamu has been getting a lot of attention. And again, there's all these stories that his smaller club in the third division, Amora, who owns 75% of his rights, wants $3 million. Sporting, I think, is only offering something like $1.5 million. And again, if you're Amora, like I said last week, I mean, if this kid has got an opportunity to go to a big club in Europe after this season, why would you only sell him the 75% of what you owe for $3 million? I mean, what is going on there? If I'm the president of Amora, I'm not selling that 75%, and I want at least $7 or $8 million, because when Sporting sells this kid and this kid winds up going to a bigger club abroad, they're going to sell him for like $25-30 million. Why only $3 million? I just don't understand the logic of that. It just doesn't make any sense if you've got a kid that's starting to make a big name for himself for Sporting. Just very, very weird. But we'll see what happens. Porto, a lot of news in Porto this week. First off, Diego Costa was linked again with Manchester United. He seems to be linked with them all the time for the goalkeeper position. Chico has been getting a lot of media. I think Chico's representation is really helping him out, of course. If you remember him, a good player 2 years ago. I remember he scored, I think it was that big goal in Estoril that had Porto toward the end of the season come back to make that run for the Liga title. But then, of course, we know he left to go, you know, he wanted to go abroad. A lot of people were upset because they felt that Porto wasn't able to sell him for the amount of money that they wanted. He goes to Ajax. doesn't adapt very well at Ajax, and now he's back, and it seems like there's a lot of stories about him trying to paint a very pretty picture. It seems like his representation is trying to do some damage control. But one thing they don't need to damage control, and that is the fact that he has been doing very well with Porto, and he's been really showing himself to be one of the key players for his father's side, and he seems to be doing very, very well. Sad news regarding former player Luis Diaz. Awful, awful, awful. Can you imagine picking up your phone and getting that type of phone call? Oh, my goodness. I just cannot imagine what that must be like for that kid. And I just, you know, I hope everything works out. But my goodness, to see his parents and his dad kidnapped is just an awful thing. Also in the news this week, Andres Villas-Boas, of course, I've talked about him. He's planning on running for Porto president. Well, it looks like the wall of the front of his house was graffitied with traitor. To me, whoever does that, you're really just generating more attention for Villas-Boas, because the more he's in the news, the more people are going to think about him. So I think that might have backfired. But unfortunately, a very unfortunate incident with somebody painting the front wall of his house, the protective part. And we're going to be seeing a lot of news about Andres Villas-Boas, who's going to run for Porto president. I do not see him beating Pinto da Costa the first time around, but I think the second time around he may, especially if Porto don't resolve their financial problems. Moving on to Benfica. Of course, you know the story with Benfica, and they have not been doing very well. But a very interesting comment was made this week by Roger Schmidt. He was asked, what does he think about all the criticism? And he said, look, one of the advantages of not speaking Portuguese is I don't have to pay attention to it, and I don't pay it any mind. But Roger Schmidt knows that for the first time at Benfica, he has finally hit crisis. They have to win in the Champions League. Otherwise, they could have a terrible campaign that I think Rui Vitória had. I think there was 1 year where I think Benfica went into the final match day with like 1 point only in the Champions League. I think Rui Vitória was manager, and he might be getting down to those depths. And by the way, Rui Vitória did not last very long after those results. But Roger Schmidt, it was awesome last year, but now everything is back down to earth. And the question is this Benfica signings this summer, have they been quality? They have not been able to replace Gonçalo Ramos. But anyway, that's why the manager gets paid what he does, and that's why he's the manager to solve these problems, and he's got a lot of work to do. David Neres, bad news for him. He is injured. He was getting some attention from the Brazil national team, but he has a serious knee injury and looks like he'll be out until February. And it should be noted that Benfica fielded 3 center backs, I think, if I recall correctly, in the League Cup match. But most importantly, they fielded a very strong side. Di Maria saved them again. What a tremendous signing he has been. He's been an incredible positive. But big, big news this week is the fact there's just a lot of people that are not happy with Benfica. David Neres having surgery. And it's just been a very rough week for Benfica, and they have to see if they're going to be able to bounce back. Before I get to the mailbag, let me talk about my favorite club in Portugal in the fifth tier, my hometown team in Portugal, my parents' hometown team. And, of course, that is the Atlético dos Arcos. And guess what? We're in first place. Atlético dos Arcos last week going on the road to Melgaço and beating Melgaçense 3-0. So right now we are in first place with 22 points. Corvinense, who's in second place, they have 19 points. Punta Barca, yeah, you know my feelings on that, in third place with 18 points. And Monção is starting to drop a little bit. They had a negative result last week, and they drew 1-1 with second place Corvinense, but they are now in fourth place with 16 points. So Atlético dos Arcos is building up so far a 3-point lead after 8 match days. Although I should say, now that I'm looking at this, let me correct one thing. Monção has only played 6 matches. They have 16 points. So if they win their 2 matches to be made up, they would go level with Arcos. But you know what? That's not what it says today. What it says today is that my club, Atlético dos Arcos, is in first place with 22 points. And hopefully Monção slips up a bit. But that's what's important. And coming up this weekend is a very, very big match. Atlético dos Arcos, first place. We'll be playing second-place team Corvinense, so this is a very, very tough match. The good news is that it's in the Estádio do Cutada at home, and it's going to be played Sunday at 1500 hours. And again, very big match for Atletico do Arcos this weekend. And by the way, this is the type of match where, you know, this Sunday, first off, if you haven't noticed in Portugal last week, the clocks in Portugal fell back. So it's been mostly a 4-hour time difference for a lot of us in the coast, the east coast of Canada and the USA. But this weekend, the clocks here in North America go back. So we'll eventually go back to 5 hours on Sunday. But this match on Sunday is a perfect match. Having that extra hour on Sunday, this would have been the perfect match for me to watch on Sunday morning at home. And again, this is my frustration why they don't put their games on YouTube. I mean, they don't have to have Sport TV type productions. Just show the match. Show the relato, the play-by-play from Radio Valdevez. It's such an easy thing, but this is the type of match that I would have liked to have seen this weekend, and unfortunately it is not available. But nevertheless, I wish my Atletico dos Arcos luck, and I wish nothing but bad results for Punta Barca. And my other club, by the way, in Arcos do Valdevez, Távora, they are now in 14th place with only 5 points. Not a very good result for them. Who is Távora playing this weekend? Let me see. Who are they playing this week? Távora this weekend is playing Vitorino de Piões, which is the 7th place team. So that could be a very tough one for the other club from Atletico dos Arcos. Mailbag edition, and I've got three good things this week that I want to talk about. First off, I want to start with Neil from Toronto, Canada. Johnny, just want to let you know that Mr. Mike Agostino has a podcast called Liga 3 in English, which is a review of the third division in Portugal. Also on the topic of Portuguese soccer, the Canadian Professional League features, the CPL, features a few Portuguese players and managers that I would like to tell you about. In Canada, Pacific FC has a player called David Brazão, a 21-year-old former Benfica striker. Armando Sá, I remember Armando Sá. He was an assistant head coach, former Benfica player. Armando Sá, assistant head coach. Yep, he's also with this club, Pacific FC. Then there's a club called Valor FC. Philippe dos Santos, head coach, lived in Portugal, born in Montreal. He's another Portuguese involved with this club. York United FC, Kevin dos Santos, 23-year-old former Vitória Setúbal player. This one, of course, I know, Mario Estácio, the brother of Steven Estácio from Porto. He's also an assistant coach in this league. And he says here, just saw the 23-3 final as Forge beat Calvary 2-1. It's a young league in Canada, but it is currently growing. Currently 8 teams, but more on the way. A great option for players to help grow the league, especially from Portugal. Yeah, if you're a Portuguese player and you want to play in another country and you want to play in a country with a growing league, Canada is very good. Canada, obviously people know about Montreal Impact. People know about Toronto. People know about Vancouver. We know that there's various teams in Canada that play in the MLS, but I've heard about this league, and I know that they are growing as a league, and it's good to see that there's various Portuguese players, whether it be as a staff, as a coach, or as a player. It's really good. So Neil, thank you so much for bringing that to my attention. Jack Hacken from Holland. Do you think that Philip Martins can become a big Portuguese manager? And we're talking, by the way, about the manager of Casa Pia, Philip Martins. Do you think that Philip Martins can become a big Portuguese manager like Jorge Jesus or Sergio Conceição and manage at the highest level of Portuguese football or whatever word you use in your part of the world? Since he seems to me and other observers of the league to stand out from the other coaches at the smaller teams in the league. Also, thank you for brightening up my train journey every Friday with your wonderful Punta de Barca suckers, slander, and great insights. Yes, I love to pick on Punta Barca. Okay, Jack, let me just start first. Philip Martins has done a great job with Casa Pia. This past week was an example, going to the Luge 1-1 and then going up to Braga 1-1 in the League Cup. Of course, last year we know Casa Pia was in the top 6 or 7 all season long, and they still are kind of in the upper half of the league. He is a manager that, if he keeps doing this, is going to get the opportunity. He won't get an opportunity at one of the big three. He'll probably get an opportunity at a Guimarães or Braga. That's kind of seems to be how it works in Portuguese with the managers. And then those type of managers might move on to one of the, you know, Sporting, Benfica, or Porto. He could be looked at if Ruben Amorim, in fact, does leave after the season for a bigger opportunity. I don't know about Porto, because if you remember last year, there was that whole controversy with Porto and Casa Pia, And people up north tend to hold grudges for a very, very long time. I don't see him going to a Benfica because I think Benfica is kind of the club that Rui Costa is trying to build. He wants to build this club with big players and big managers. And I think it's tough. I'm not to say that it won't happen, but I think that his chances are probably better with the Guimarães, with the Braga, start there. And then I could see him maybe with an opportunity, maybe as a potential sporting manager in the future if Ruben decides to leave. And I'm really happy to hear that I brighten up. I know you've told me in the past that when the podcast comes out, you're usually traveling there in Holland. And I'm so glad to hear that. I get a lot of emails, DMs from people who always tell me that they're usually doing the same thing, listening to my podcast on Friday or Saturday, and that I become a part of your day. So you have no idea what it means to me, and it's an extreme source of motivation. It's why I'm going to keep going. I'm going to try to get better at this, but thank you so much, Jack, for that. Had another comment here from Armando. He sent this to me via Facebook. He's from Geneva, Switzerland. Oh, I've been to Geneva. I went to Geneva about 70 years ago, a lot of Portuguese there. I actually arrived in Geneva when it was like, I guess, the official holiday of Switzerland Day, and I really appreciated that. But he says, I didn't realize this week was the League Cup. I was caught off guard that this week was the League Cup. I don't understand why this competition is still around. Why do they keep a competition that clubs don't really take too seriously unless you're the playing in the Final Four? I really think the Liga needs to change its stance and get rid of the Tasa de Liga. It is a complete waste of time. I prefer to see my clubs prepare for Europe. And obviously, as you know, we are not doing very well in Europe. We are dropping. So anything we can do to help us in Europe and give the players more rest would be better. Again, from Geneva, Switzerland, not happy with the League Cup. Hey, let me just say this. I've been an advocate of the League Cup because I think it's more football, and that's a good thing. It's an opportunity for younger players to play. Don't forget, one of the tiebreakers, I don't know if that's the case this year, but in the past, has been that one of the tiebreakers is if you have a younger age team that played in this, that usually helps you win a tiebreaker because they literally go by the youngest team has the tiebreaker head-to-head if between two clubs, if it comes to that. This is a league cup that, you know, it's been around now 16, 17 years. Again, I remember the first year. I think it was Leixões and Setúbal playing in the final. But it was built for the smaller clubs and to have more matches. And with the fact that this format is changing, that is no longer the case. What happens now is this competition used to be 6 or 7 matches when the groups were bigger. Now it's down to 5. And now it seems like it's going to be down to quarterfinals. It's going to be going down to now 3 matches with the potential of the Final Four being played abroad. And I like it. I don't like the new format. But at the same time, I also want to say to your feelings, I don't blame you. I didn't do a preview of the League Cup last week because, quite frankly, I forgot about it. It was not on my radar. I did a bad job. But the League Cup, we saw Benfica take it seriously this week. We saw Sporting take it seriously this week. We saw Porto finally win this competition last year. It's not going away. It's just going to get smaller with an 8-team format. And I think the 8-team format might make it easier for clubs in Europe to compete because if you've only got 8 teams, that means you're playing, what, quarters, semis, and final. And you know what? I think that's a lot easier than what we have right now. But it's not going away, but they are going to be playing less matches in the future, so maybe that'll make you a little bit happier. Armando from Geneva, Switzerland, thank you so much. Folks, that wraps up episode 195 of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. We've got Europe back next week. We've got match day 10 of the Liga Betclic. We've got match day 9 of the second division. All happening this weekend, and then, of course, Europe next week. And then don't forget, next Friday, Roberto Martinez will announce his squad selections for Liechtenstein and Iceland. As always, folks, thank you for listening. Please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your families. And I'll talk to you next week. Ciao, everybody.